Good morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. All right, let's begin. So Matthew 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God,' he is not to honor his father or his mother. And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines that the precepts of men.' After Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit.' Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' Jesus said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man.' Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came and began to cry out, saying, 'Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, 'Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us.' But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' But she said, 'Yes, Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus said to her, 'O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done with you as you wish.' And her daughter was healed at once. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there, and large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where would we get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' And they said, 7 and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they packed up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got in the boat and came to the region of Magadan. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made, Lord, and that we get to come here today to seek you out first, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that during this time, as I share your word, Lord, I pray that I would be able to convey your truth, but more importantly, even also convey your heart, Lord, and today that we would really be able to receive your heart, God, that would touch us deeply and intimately, Lord. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in this chapter, it begins with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees see that the disciples are eating without washing their hands, and they're really upset, and they say, how can they do this? It's really breaking the tradition and laws that we have. And you can see how this could have happened, right? Where suddenly washing hands becomes very important. You know, if it was in the modern day context, you know, we could say, oh, okay, like, you know, washing hands is very hygienic, right? So if you don't wash your hands, there's germs. And then, and you know, our body is a temple, so we got to take good care of it. Therefore, if you don't wash your hands, it's a sin, right? And that's, I'm not sure if for the Pharisees, washing the hands was, they had that train of thought. But it kind of like one thing led to other, and suddenly that's what happened. And, you know, many of these traditions that happen are fine, right? I think, you know, for example, even like with exercising for us, right? We can say, oh, body is a temple, so we should exercise, watch what we eat. And to a certain degree, you can say, oh, that's a really good thing. However, in this case, Jesus kind of calls them out on this tradition or this thing that he's using against the disciples. And he's using this scenario that he's also observed, which is, you know, according to one of the commandments, it says, you know, we need to honor our father and mother and obey them if we're under their house still. However, the Pharisees have kind of twisted things, and they're not even abiding by this law, because they're saying, oh, you know, basically any money that they receive, rather than give it to their parents and take care of them, they're just saying, well, actually, I don't need to do that because I'm giving it to God. Right, or and they're in ministry as well, right? So really, you can already see they're not really about the law. So he's kind of calling out their hypocritical nature. And we need to be wary of this as well. Especially as we've been in the church for a long time, as leaders, we like to draw conclusions, right? And this is a kind of perhaps a silly one. For example, it would be like even the way people dress at church, right? And if you dress well and, you know, wear your Sunday best, I just want to preface it by saying that's great. I think if you do that, that is wonderful that you would come to church, you know, shower in the morning, do your hair, and put in the effort because you want to look your best. But most importantly is what's going on in the heart, right? And it's the trouble is when we perhaps impose that onto other people and say, hey, you know, you're not wearing, I don't know, dress shirt, collar shirt. You're not wearing a nice enough brand. Like if you take it to a really extreme, you're like, oh, I can't believe they're wearing that, you know, brand, right? And we always have to just go back to look at the heart, right? And you can't impose those rules on others, especially when it's actually not one of the commandments, right? But we can easily do that. And Jesus kind of addresses this a little further, and he says, is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man. Wait, it is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. Kind of a funny phrase, right? And even the disciples are a little confused on first hand. They're like, hey, can you explain this parable, Jesus? It's not even really a parable, it's just a sentence. And Jesus explains it. And what Jesus is saying with this, on one sense, he's addressing the literal, right? Which is, he's saying, oh, if you eat things that are, and you don't wash your hands, and you put it and you ingest it, it's okay. Because I've made things, he's made everything kosher now as well, right? And that addresses that. But what he's really saying is he's saying, and you don't want to take this out of context, because if you say, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter what I ingest, then you could like go, oh, does that mean, you know, it's okay to watch porn? Of course not, right? That's not what Jesus is saying. Is it okay if I just, because Jesus says all things are permissible, but not all things are edifying as well. So clearly, it's not like, okay, you can do whatever you want, because what, as long as whatever comes out is okay. Yes, sometimes the things that go in that you ingest or experience will affect your affect you. But what he's talking about is the heart again. It's not what happens on the outside. So, you know, the Pharisees on first hand, they look like they're doing well. Their actions are good. Even the things they say about, oh, tradition is wonderful. But when you really look at it, you look at the words that are coming out, and you really look at their heart, it's so dirty, right? And what he's saying, what is coming out is a reflection of the heart. A reflection of the heart. And I think that's really what the focus of this whole chapter is it's about the heart. It is not about what your actions or the outward things. And I was reminded of just a testimony that Pastor Sam shared with us yesterday from Pastor Che. And Pastor Che was talking about this really prophetic guy. Like Pastor Che is already pretty prophetic, giving words of knowledge. But then there's this other guy who even Pastor Che is like, oh, he's crazy prophetic. This guy called, I might be getting it wrong, Sean Boltz. Is that correct? Staff? Okay, I got it right. Sean Boltz. And he's this really prophetic guy. And he would give words of knowledge to the extent of like the specificity. Is that right? Specificity. He was so specific that he could give even people's like social insurance number and their address, and even shared like where Pastor Che on first hand experienced it, where this guy kind of, hey, Pastor Che, does this mean anything to you? And he like listed four addresses, and it turns out all these four addresses were addresses that Pastor Che used to live. So these were the four homes, and the last address was where he currently lives. And then he kind of gave him a prophetic word. But all to say, what was really interesting about this guy, he's now in his kind of like late, early 40s, late 30s. His prophetic gift, like this craziness that happened, just happened like a few years ago. And how it happened was he had an encounter with God, and God just rocked his world. And what God said to him was this. He said, if something to the extent, I'm maybe butchering it, but something to the extent of, if you will spend time with me and like seek me out, I will give you these like words that you can continue to share, to do these prophetic words. And when it came down to it, it really came down to, again, intimacy with God and the heart. Right? Because oftentimes we think, oh, you know, with the prophetic especially, or these supernatural giftings like healing, it's kind of like you either got it or you don't. Either you're born with it and you have that certain personality or persona, and it's like, oh, it's kind of this thing where we think, oh, either you're special or you're not, right? Either you got it and you're not. But for this guy, his whole life, the majority of his life, it never happened. And then God, he encountered God, and God basically told him, be intimate with me. And then the gift came, right? And we need to assess in ourselves as well, what is giving us our security? What are we putting our hope in? And it should be God. It should not be based on our giftings, right? We should not be defined by our giftings all based on, you know, how many encounters or supernatural happenings. Those things should not define us, right? And that's what Jesus is addressing with the Pharisees. It's not what you do. It's not the outward, right? It's not what you ingest, but it's what's coming out, right? And what's coming out, what's in here needs to be love. And you see that as we continue on with Jesus. And as we continue on, we get to the story of Jesus and this Canaanite woman. And it's kind of a troubling exchange, right? Basically what happens is this woman comes, approaches Jesus, and he says, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. That must be heartbreaking as a parent if your child is demon-possessed. So she comes to Jesus, and what does Jesus do? He ignores her. It's like, what? Jesus, I thought you were, what's going on? And the disciples like, hey, send her away. She's getting kind of noisy. And then he said, the next response is, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she's not a Jew, right? So it's like, oh, already kind of, also kind of. And then what she says is, Lord, help me. And he says, it like progressively gets even more harsh, it seems. It is not good to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs. So this is just like a diss at this point, right? He's calling her a dog, basically. And he's saying it's not even a good idea to feed her. And this was probably a common Jewish saying that was very offensive at that time. And she responds, yes, but Lord, even the dogs feed on the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And then Jesus suddenly 180s. Oh woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And before she even responds, he instantaneously heals her, right? So when I first read this, definitely kind of troubling passage. Like, man, Jesus, you seem kind of mean. Where's the love after, especially, you know, the prior verses talking about, oh, what's in here and all that. So I don't have the full answer, but I do believe Jesus was, even though like how you read it obviously affects the context, but I believe Jesus was doing this out of love. And something that I read was in the Hebrew, he actually, one of the responses he has, he will say, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to little dogs. And all to say, although it seems like harsh, I think what Jesus, he was kind of like, if I were to read it a different way, well, back to the little dogs thing, it's kind of like there's this common saying that was very offensive, but he kind of added the little dogs to kind of make it more sound cute. So it wasn't as harsh, right? So if I read it differently, anyway, I won't do it again. But all to say, I think Jesus knew what he was doing, right? And it was to incite, actually, one of his responses, which is, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And there's only one other time where he responds with, like, oh, great faith, and that is with the centurion, the Roman centurion who comes on his soldier's behalf. And if I'm to kind of quickly draw from the two, like, what really brought this great faith, is first, they had to not worry about what other people thought, right? She's coming, she's crying, people are shooing her away. She didn't care. And same with this Roman centurion, you know, he's this person of respect, yet he went to Jesus to ask for help. And with every response that Jesus gave that seemed kind of like a rejection, she didn't receive it, right? And I think that also requires a very secure person. I know it seems weird because it's like so weak, it seems, but I want to say that she was really strong and secure, and she knew exactly who she was, right? I mean, when you get a response like, it is not good to take children's bread and throw it to dogs, and if Jesus said that to me, I think I would like have no response. I'd be heartbroken. But what does she say? She's like so humble, and she kind of knew exactly where she was at. And she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Wow, that's crazy humility. She's not offended by what Jesus said. And just, it's like, Lord, I just need you. I need you. I want you. And the second thing is, for both of them, they're seeking actually on behalf of someone else. Right? And you can already see, oh, that's love, right? They're not just seeking out for themselves, but seeking out for someone else. We're kind of out of time. And just to also reveal Jesus' heart, and we see this, I think, even with, I saw this weekend with Che, right? He just, you know, so patient. Every service, he prayed for everybody. Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so tired. But he really had a willingness to pray for everybody. And Jesus, after doing, you know, days upon days of ministry, healing people, after all that, he's still concerned with people's hunger, right? After all that, he still wants to feed people. And you can see he truly is, he came to serve, right? He came to serve. So as Janella comes up, I think this chapter really kind of speaks to our individual hearts, but also kind of shows the heart that Jesus has, the heart that we should strive for. And during this time of reflection, let's go back and assess in our hearts what is going on in our hearts, right? Let's not get our value or our self-worth from our actions, right? It's not about what we do in our careers or what ministries we serve in, but really, what is going on in our hearts? Is it judgmental thoughts, critical thoughts, or is it a heart like Jesus, where even in that time where he's probably so drained, he's still concerned about feeding the multitudes? What's going on in our hearts? What's going on? Thank you. Yes, Lord, it is your love that really moved us, God. It is your love, your unconditional love, Lord, that as we think back even to when we first gave our life to you and we began this journey with you and this relationship with you, all it was, Lord, was it was your love for us that moved us to follow you and give our life to you, Lord. And even that time before we had accomplished anything, even at that time when we didn't even know what really being a Christian meant, Lord, you already loved us unconditionally. So Lord, forgive us, Lord, if we've put our hope and our priorities on things of the outward, Lord, whether it be our ministries, our actions, our careers, Lord, and we've forgotten, Lord, that you are our center, that you're the one who drives us, Lord, and in some ways we've lost, just as this song that Janelle led us in, Lord, how much we need you, Lord. Those words, I need you, though we speak them, Lord, perhaps they're not as sincere in our hearts, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, today, I pray for everyone here today, Lord, that need for you, that desire for you in our hearts, Lord, would match, Lord, and that the love that we have for you and the love that we have for people, for others, God, would be really what drives us, Lord. And all those outward things are, you know, spiritual gifts, our wealth and resources, Lord, they would just be meant to further your kingdom and further the love that we can have for you and other people, God. Lord, we just ask for your help to touch us and transform us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the screens. Let's cover our community. Let's cover those friends and loved ones who are suffering from cancer as well as going through chemo or radiation therapy. Let's pray for God to come, and just as the story of that woman coming on behalf of her daughter, let us scope on behalf of our friends and loved ones, and in faith ask for healing.
Let's also cover those who are sick, but also are in need of salvation. Let's pray for just situations, circumstances, but most importantly, just an open heart to receive. Let's also cover those on the list who are suffering from infirmities. Let's also pray for those on the list, for their jobs, for God's provision, and for God's direction. Let's go to our Thursday prayers. Let's first cover Cambodia and Grace Chung in Bloom, and also Peace Sophia in Japan. Just pray that they would know why they're there, and just continue to walk out in God's calling in their life with joy and purpose. Let's cover our prayer and healing ministries. Let's cover IP Well Cascade. Let's pray for his anointing and protection. Let's pray for the leaders, for the leaders to have God's vision as well as direction. Pray for the education ministries, Noah's Ark with Pastor Mary and Yiling, SP Youth with Pastor Nate, SPU with P. Ricky and P. Andrew. Let's pray for anointing. Let's pray that through the leaders, they can lead the people to encounter God. Let's cover our Thursday outreach teams, SP Lights, as well as Homie Outreach. Let's pray for favor with the people that they meet, and just for love for the people that they meet. Let's pray for our SP annual retreat. Let's pray for our speakers, Pastor Benjamin, Pastor and his wife Sunny, as well as his mentor and his wife that are coming. Let's pray pray for the messages. Let's pray for our church that we would really encourage everybody and everyone we know to really come and be part of this retreat, where we will just really gel together, have unity, and let, you know, our encounter with God be what really bonds us as a church. Father, Lord, we just recognize so many things, and even all the prayers up on the screen, Lord, these are all things that we need you to come and be a part of, God. And we confess that not by our strength at all, but really only by your strength, Lord, can these healings and these encounters with you can happen, where you touch and transform people from the inside out, Lord. So we just confess again, Lord, how much we need you, how without you, Lord, we can't, Lord. And without you, we don't even really want you, Lord. So Lord, once again, we just want to declare that you are our center and driving force in our life, Lord. And I just pray that even with today, Lord, with that in mind, that we would have just so much motivation as we face the day, Lord, with joy and with purpose, and with such confidence, Lord, knowing that you are for us, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord. And I just pray for everyone here, Lord. I pray that you would bless our spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit, Lord, and lead our body and soul. Lead us in everything that we do, Lord. Lead us, Lord, to hear your voice and to quickly obey as well. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and have a great day.